Good morning. I'm going to start off today just jumping right into our Bible here. And that would be in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Verse 6 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. The New Testament church was experiencing some of the same problems that we experience today in the church. And that is when someone tries to bring in or maybe even take out some of the doctrines of the church. Now, my family started attending the church back in 1968, and that was this month, 45 years ago. And over that span of time, every once in a while, we would hear about someone leaving the church. And sometimes they took people with them when they went. And what would happen is someone would discover or think they had discovered some kind of new truth, or they had a better understanding of the truth. And then they'd want to spread it to anyone who was willing to listen to them. And at some point, that would eventually take root in some of the other members and start to become a problem in the church. And then eventually, they would be asked, or maybe they would just leave on their own, but the problem was sometimes they took other people with them. And every few years, these same problems creep up in the church. And I guess Satan feels if something works, you just stick with it. You know, you just keep coming back to it. The calendar, that would be one of the issues that you hear about every so often. Are we following the right calendar? Are we, you know, keeping the holy days on the right day? So that comes up once in a while. Another one that seems to come up occasionally is what's known as the sacred names doctrine. Now, the thought behind this is that in order to be saved, you have to be able to correctly pronounce the name of God. Now, the main thought for this comes from a scripture. You don't have to turn here, but it's in Acts 4. It's verse 12. I'll read this one to you. The scripture says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men but by which we must be saved. So this is the scripture that they turn to when they want to enforce that particular doctrine. And that was Acts 4, verse 12. A few months back, and some of you have heard the story already, but a few months back, well, actually it's probably been closer to a year, a friend of mine, someone I had known years ago, who they had grown up in the church, started asking me some questions on Facebook about United and what we believed. And when they first started, I actually thought that they were interested in really understanding. They had grown up in the church and they had since left. And I thought she was looking for real answers. One of the first things that she asked me, which she thought was very important to her, was why did I think that most churches had taken the name Jehovah out of the Bible? She said in nearly every instance in the Bible, several hundred times, that name Jehovah had been taken out. Now you can probably guess where this is going. I'd ask her where she was going to church. She did not want to tell me at first. She said she was religious, but she didn't want to tell me what church she was going to. Well, obviously she was a Jehovah's Witness now. And this religion is based almost primarily on promoting the name Jehovah. So I did a little took a little time to study this. I wanted to be able to give her a good answer. So I had kind of looked into it a little bit, and I started studying a little bit on the sacred names doctrine. And I thought maybe I'd just share some of that here with you today, what I had found. And it was interesting. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you maybe three or four basic rebuttals or arguments to the sacred names doctrine, just in case they pop up here locally sometime, or you run into somebody somewhere at a feast who wants to talk to you about this. Here's some ideas for that. Now, I should probably just say here, I don't believe that the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't adhere to the sacred names doctrine, I don't believe. I think what they believe is that by calling God Jehovah, that they actually have a better relationship with Him. I don't think that it's so much a part of the sacred names doctrine. But with the sacred names movement, it's not really the meaning of the name that's important, but what's most important is that you're able to pronounce it. You're able to say it properly. Now, for this to be true, now this would be my first basic argument against this, is if this is going to be true, if it has to be in the Hebrew form, then the New Testament would have to be written in Hebrew, because the Bible would not allow for another translation if it only had to be Hebrew. And as we know, the New Testament was written in the Greek. So that would be the first, just very basic argument against it. Another basic argument is this. If we need the correct pronunciation of the Hebrew word, you would have to know how to say it. I mean, you can't, if you don't know how it's pronounced, you can't say it. You can't say it properly. And in the original Hebrew text, there were no vowels. Later on, as the Hebrew language, as they were writing it and progressing it, they started to add vowel points. But at this particular time when this was written, there weren't vowel points. So all you had in the Bible in the Hebrew was the YHWH, or what we might say is Yahweh. But even that's just a guess, because there were no vowels. We don't know how to pronounce it for sure. So all you had to go on was the YHWH. So again, if you have that and you don't have the basic understanding of the language of the time, you would not know how to say that. So those are the first two. Those are just kind of basic. The third one, if we must know how to pronounce the YHWH, and it's only by this name that we can be saved, then we need to ask, did everybody know God, especially if you go into the faith chapter, did they all know God by that name? I think most of us would agree that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be in God's kingdom, but did they know God by the name Yahweh, or the YHWH? Did he reveal himself that way to him? We need to go to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. And this is going to be in verses 2 and 3. Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, now the word God here is Elohim. It's what was the word they used for God. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Now the word Lord here is the YHWH, or the Yahweh. So God spoke to Moses and said, I am Yahweh. Then God says, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. Now, God Almighty here is El Shaddai. But my name Lord, which is Yahweh, I was not known to them. So I'll just put this all together and read it to you the way it is. It says, so Elohim spoke to Moses and said, I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai. But my name Yahweh, I was not known to them. So God did not reveal himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the YHWH, or as what we might say, the Yahweh. So this verse tells us that, you know, they did not know him by that name. And most people look at Abraham as the father of the faithful. And I would assume that if it was necessary to know that name, he would have known it. Now you can look back behind this in Genesis and Exodus parts and find the name, the YHWH. But that's because the book was written by Moses. And God had revealed himself to Moses as that. But the people prior to that did not know him as that with that name. Now my final thought on this one, we got to go back to the New Testament, back to Matthew for this one. And this kind of ties in my first two points about the other languages being used to use the name. And that would be in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 45 through 46. Now, the Aramaic word for God in the Old Testament was Elah. E-L-A-H, Elah. And it translated Eli in the New Testament. Matthew 27, verse 45 through 46. Verse 45, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now this verse is quoted in the Aramaic. And there's no Hebrew word for that inserted for God inserted into the Aramaic. The Aramaic was quoted directly. The word Yahweh was not used. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I probably could have just skipped all the rest of the points and just used this one alone. But the way I think is, if it was good enough for Jesus Christ, and he did not use, and he doesn't give us any command anywhere in Scripture to do it differently than or to use the Yahweh, well then that's pretty much good enough for me. He didn't use it. When he called out to God, it was spoken in the Aramaic, it was translated into Greek, and then it was translated into English for us. Now let's take a minute to go back to my Jehovah's Witness friend. The name Jehovah to start with would not be pronounced correctly anyways, as a lot of you would know that the J is actually has a Y sound, so it would actually be Jehovah. But even that is wrong. As I mentioned earlier, there were no vowels in the original Hebrew. The correct vowel sounds were maintained only by oral usage through the time, but that was lost because at a point they felt that the actual name of God was too sacred to be said, or to even in some cases to be written down. So it was only done through the priesthood and through oral usage. So the vowels in Yahweh, we don't know exactly what they are. But what the Jehovah's Witnesses did was they took the YHWH and they translated some of that to the word Lord in the New Testament as Adonai. A-D-O-N-I, I believe is what it was. And what they did was they took the vowel sounds from Adonai and they added it to the YHWH and they came out with the Jehovah or the Yehovah. And again, it's still just a guess. They don't have the actual vowel sounds. Well, anyway, I know it was a lot. I hope that was useful. Chances are some of these things will pop up again in the future, and this will give you some ammunition to rebut that if it comes your way. Have a great Sabbath.